Chapter 7. The Opening of the Warp. Deep in the fortress of the Iron Warriors was the Astropathicum. The name bore no relation to the meaning of the word as Zerberin understood it. Imperial astropathic stations were very different in character. The Iron Warrior's sole telepath hung in her upright coffin, imprisoned by cables trailing from her skull like a shock of thick hair. Serfs from both brotherhoods worked around her, adjusting the power feed from the cables and monitoring her vital signs. The woman was not a true astropath, but a witchborn taken from their slave stock, a natural psyker, unblessed and unprotected by the Emperor. She was naked, emaciated, and filthy, but deadly. The banks of crackling machinery around her were there to contain her powers.
"Green, green, no more seen," she whimpered. "The roar goes on and on, loudly, quietly. Two brothers cease their fight for a time, exhausted. Red stars for eyes, two apiece."
She giggled. Zerberin's astropaths were dead. She was all they had, not that she was much use. The Iron Warrior's witch had not made any sense in all the time they'd been on the moon of Imitis. Zerberin listened to the witch's babble. She still made no sense, but the fortress was changing around her. Fresh ferrocrete covered scars inflicted on the complex by the cyclical tidal tugging of Imitus VII, the gas giant the moon orbited. Zerberin felt that pull himself when the giant planet rose, four times a day. New machinery, salvaged from ravaged worlds and ships, had been integrated with the ancient systems. The halls hummed with the quiet work of technology. Air filtration meant the air was purer, and this was only one of 100 small alterations that was changing the fort from a semi-derelict to something resembling a chapter fortress. Zerberin was beginning to feel at home there, surrounded by traitors. He saw them now as more than just despicable foes. They were capable warriors and builders, and though there were methods the Iron Warriors employed that he would never have dreamt of using himself, he was beginning to see their utility. That concerned him. Someone drew near, and his thoughts fled like clouds before the wind. Epistolary Honorius's psychic presence filled the room, pushing at the crazed, fluctuating gifts of the witch as a fortress wall opposes the air. His physical presence was barely less imposing. The librarian was never out of his Terminator battleplate. A wise precaution, thought Zerberin. The Iron Warriors could grow tired of their alliance at any time.
"First Captain, you called for me."
The Librarius's serfs genuflected to their master and went back to their work. The woman sobbed. Her metal-faced handler shocked her with a savage throw of a switch, and she screamed.
"Brother Epistolary, a word in private."
Black eyes gazed impassively from Honorius's ageless, snow-pale face as he swept them over the serfs.
"Leave us," he called.
Immediately, the serfs began to shut down the equipment. They bowed and departed. The Psyker's overseer, one of Calcator's creatures, remained.
"You too," said Honorius.
His voice was sepulchral, his lips permanently downturned.
"Begone."
"My master told me no one was to be alone with the witch."
"Go,"
said Honorius, with a power that could not be denied. The overseer hesitated, then left, cowering under the librarian's disapproval.
"Are we alone?" asked Zerberin.
The epistolary's eyes closed.
"Idolica bred men with pale skin."
Honorius was amongst the palest. There was the merest hint of pink to his lips. Without that, he could have been a marble figure on a tomb.
"No one hears us," he said dolefully.
Zerberin pointed at the witch, moaning in her restraints and rolling her head.
"The green roar abates. The witch speaks nonsense still, but I believe that is what she is trying to say. Is this not so?"
Honorius inclined his head but once.
"It is, First Captain."
"Something has happened in the wider war. Victory must be close at hand. Have we any word from the last wall?"
"None intelligible, First Captain. My librarians are not astropaths, but we sense something. A shift in the warp. They receive fragments of messages where before there was nothing. communication becomes clearer by the hour. We will be able to send our own messages soon? Yes, Brother Captain. If the brothers of the Librarius work together, it can be done within a day or two. No more.
Zurbarin turned back to look at the witch. His eyes narrowed.
And can we do so without it being intercepted? You intend to betray the Iron Warriors?
Said Honorius.
I intend to be cautious, Brother Librarian. Do you disapprove? You are the first captain. I will do whatever you command, said Honorius. The message will not be intercepted.
Honorius bowed and made to depart. Zurbarin halted him.
Honorius, you knew Oriax Dantalion.
I did, said Honorius.
What would he have made of our allies? Dantalion was an inflexible and furious man, said Honorius. He would have hated the Iron Warriors as the enemies of the Legion and traitors to the dreams of the Emperor.
And what do you make of them, brother? Honorius looked sidelong at Zurbarin.
I think that the Iron Warriors are useful, my lord.
Zurbarin nodded.
I concur. Perhaps they can be saved, turned back onto the righteous path.
Prepare a message. As soon as you're able, send it. Inform the last wall of our location. Tell them to come in peace and bearing the markers of truce.
It is time we readied ourselves to return home.